couple of years ago, my mom broke her back at a wedding. But it was how she did it. Apparently, she was laughing at her own joke. And she stepped back and she tripped on her high heels and fell down and actually broke her back. And this funny story says a lot about my mom. She loved to laugh, even at herself. Not the most athletic person in the room. And loved being with people. Loved it. A wedding was probably one of her favorite types of gatherings. And it's been mentioned today already, she would have loved this. Just all of you here, her favorite people, her kids playing music with Denver and Mac, her grandson playing piano, her granddaughter playing the prelude music. Even the setup, she would have maybe had some opinions, but she would have loved it. After she broke her back, the next month she was supposed to meet us. I was on a cross-Canada road trip with my family, and they were going to meet us out east, and she was going to meet with some pastors out there as well. Most people probably would have canceled, but she was determined to be there, to get better, to come alongside us, to come alongside of those pastors, because A, she loved her kids and would have moved heaven and earth to be there. And she loved coming alongside people, especially couples in ministry, because she knew how hard it was. I'm curious, how many pastors are here that have been influenced or mentored or she's come alongside you that are here in this room? Just raise your hand. Yeah, many. And thanks for being here. Thanks for traveling out of province and out of country. We've heard about all of you by name, even when we didn't care. Oh, so-and-so, they got the coolest church, and they're out. Oh, they're doing such a good job. We're like, who are you talking? She always wanted to encourage people and see them do well. When people were mourning, she mourned with them. When they were rejoicing, they rejoiced with them. She rejoiced with them. So much compassion and empathy, even more than my dad, he said. Just as recent as 3 weeks ago, my mom and dad were in Alberta and met with 8 different couples. And what, are any of those couples here? Yeah? Oh, wow. Just a few weeks ago, hey? A lot can happen. She loved coming alongside people, and it was more than just a love, but it was a calling. And 16 days ago, she suddenly and unexpectedly died. The next day, I was scheduled to preach at our church in Vancouver on the second beatitude from Matthew 5, verse 4, the words of Jesus. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. I think there's something here in these words for us today. We are mourning the loss of a truly remarkable human being. My siblings and I are mourning the loss of our mother. My dad is mourning the loss of his wife and partner in life. Our kids are mourning the loss of their nanny. My nana is mourning the loss of her firstborn child and only daughter. My uncles are mourning the loss of their big sister. We are all mourning the loss of Tamana, whether you're family, friends, acquaintances, or indirectly connected through family members. But more than just a relationship to her, we're mourning a world without Tamana's laugh in it. Her rich, deep, chocolatey tenor singing voice. Her soft and gentle touch and warm, pillowy hugs. We're mourning the loss of an extraordinary host and gatherer. This was core to who my mom was. It was her essence, was a gatherer and a host. If hosting was an extreme sport, she would be among the world's top athletes. And she was one of the greatest cheerleaders. We're mourning the loss of Earth's greatest cheerleader. We're mourning not being able to do another cousin's camp with her grandkids, or getting to witness any of them graduate high school, or get married, or have kids. We're mourning Elliot not getting to grow up with his nanny. There are often no words, and we might not have the words to articulate grief. I find this image is helpful and accurate by Scott Erickson. Our hearts are broken, and people of faith for centuries have said death has lost its sting, but it still stings. And everyone here is experiencing mourning at some level, and we bring things that we are mourning outside of this gathering: losses, suffering, grief, great hurt, at different levels of intensity. But blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Notice that Jesus' words don't say, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will not mourn." Or, "Blessed are those who mourn, for he will take away their mourning," or make it stop. He says, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." God is in the business of comforting the brokenhearted. He is so acquainted with grief and sorrow. We don't need to despair. Because of Jesus, death doesn't get the final word. It is through faith in his death and resurrection that we experience true comfort. In the midst of life's greatest losses, griefs, and sorrows, he is with us, and he will never leave us or forsake us. Poet Mary Oliver has one of my favorite questions of all time. She says, "Tell me, what is it you plan to do with this one wild and precious life?" In answer to this question, I think my mom would have said, without skipping a beat, "Love God and love people." And she did. She lived into this. She lived into the essence and the idea of comfort. She comforted others from the comfort that she had received from her faith in God. She lived out these words that the Apostle Paul gave in the second letter to the Corinthians. "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God." And this word comfort, it's the Greek word parakletos. It's the same word used in the Greek translations of the Beatitudes. It means to come alongside, to encourage, to console, and strengthen. And it's also a title in Scripture for the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, the one who comes alongside, who advocates, who helps. So one could say that the work of the Holy Spirit is to come alongside. And for those who call Christ their Lord, we are called to join in this work. I am convinced that the church is at its best when it is coming alongside hurting people. And Southgate Church, my mom's church, you have done this, and you have done this exceedingly and abundantly. Such an incredible example of what it means to come alongside one another, to console, to encourage, and strengthen. I probably shouldn't name names, but Tamara, you have been a blessing to our family. And I know you organized a lot, and there was a whole load of people with you, but thank you. You're doing the work of the Holy Spirit. My friends from Artisan Church here today, I can't see you, but I love you. Thanks for being here. You're doing the work of the Holy Spirit. want to close with a quote and a challenge. And the quote comes from one of my heroes, also not with us, Dorothy Day, who started the Catholic Workers Movement in Manhattan, New York. She said, "Compassion, it is a word meaning to suffer with. If we all carry a little of the burden, it will be lightened. If we share in the suffering of the world, then some will not have to endure so heavy an affliction. It evens out. You may think you are alone, but we are members of one another. We are children of God together. I write to comfort others as I have been comforted." The word comfort, too, means to be strong together, to have fortitude together. There is the reminder of community. Once, when I suffered and sat in church in a misery while waves and billows passed over me, I suddenly thought with exultation, "I am sharing suffering." And it was immediately lightened. The challenge for us is, this sounds so cheesy, but my mom would love this, the shine challenge. Hashtag shine challenge. Come alongside someone this week. That's the challenge. Go out of your way to bless someone who's having a tough time. Find a way to come alongside them, whether a meal, a thoughtful text, some flowers. In honor of my mom, I beg you to do this. And if your mom is still alive, call her and tell her you love her. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. There's blessing in mourning, even when it doesn't feel like it. Promises comfort.